A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And a voice was heard from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Soren Kierkegaard said, "Purity of heart is to will one thing." For Christians, that one thing is the approval of God in the way of Christ Jesus. It is our one will to belong to God, as testified to in our baptism in Christ Jesus. Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. He surrendered his life to God there in that river. As former Broadway Baptist Church pastor John Claypool used to say, he gave all that he knew of himself to all that he knew of God, and submitted the totality of his life to the one who created him and was calling him. And when Jesus went down into those muddy waters on that day of his baptism, the skies opened up and the Spirit descended down, and a voice was heard loud and clear throughout both the heavens and also the earth. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Or as Clarence Jordan put it in the Cotton Patch Gospel, "This is my dear Son, I'm proud of him." Or as we might say colloquially out in Lubbock, "This is my boy and he's done me proud." Or as I still often say to both of my boys and also my girl, "I'm proud of you. And I am so glad to be your dad." Our children need to hear that, by the way. And we parents, well, we need to say it. And if we're too embarrassed to let words like "I love you" or "I'm proud of you" come out of our mouths, then, well, we need to get over that. Because I have it on good authority in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that it is a good and godly thing to do. God is not too sophisticated or buttoned up to say, "I love you," and that is exactly what happened at Jesus' baptism. God unbuttoned the heavens. And a voice was heard saying, I love you, and you've done me proud. I've seen a lot of proud parents at their children's baptisms in the years I've been pastor. But the first one I ever performed, well, it topped them all. It was in the crystal clear snow melt waters of Lake Champlain, Vermont, in late October. Our little church did not have a baptistry, so we did all of our baptisms just down the road in Lake Champlain. That meant most people became Christians between Memorial Day and Labor Day. But every once in a while, some saint or sinner would be convinced he really needed immediate sending or saving. And that first baptism was one of those occasions. So in late October, folks gathered on that picturesque fall shoreline as the baptized-to-be and I waded out into the waters together where we could both barely feel our feet. And we turned around in the water and looked at all those family and friends standing there along the shore. And I said one of the shortest pastoral prayers you've ever heard. Then I baptized this new believer in a very high-pitched tone in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And just as I was bringing the young man out of the waters, suddenly, his father gave out a loud shout that echoed across the lake, pulled off his shirt, ran down the length of the dock, and did a cannonball right there in those frigid late fall waters. It was not the most decorous baptism I've ever been a part of. And frankly, I'm glad it hasn't happened here. But I can tell you, I have never in my life seen a better illustration of this scripture and of God's great unrestrained and unbuttoned, you done me proud kind of love. That father delighted in his son on that day of baptism. And God, the Father, Mother, did the same for God's Son on the day of his baptism also. And in the book of Jesus's most oft quoted prophet Isaiah, God says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. And I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. So the water was broken, and the heavens too, and the Holy Spirit fell down, and Jesus was anointed and ordained to his ministry of justice. But justice would not come easy, would it? For the servant would be sent to bring justice to the nations, but the nation would not want it. The nations would fight against it. And soon after his baptism, Jesus will begin to speak of suffering and rejection and resurrection and cross. This is God's way, he will say. And his disciples will begin to doubt and to grumble and to finally even openly defy him. And that is when we will hear these words from heaven spoken by God again. Atop the mountain of transfiguration, just before the valley of suffering, God's voice will say to those doubting disciples once more, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And then he will add these words, "Listen to him." When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, the Bible says that there were many who were baptized with him also. The book of Matthew says Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to be baptized by John also. But as the story begins to unfold, Jesus begins to say that there is still yet another baptism with which he must be baptized. And so many will begin to fall away, and they will turn back, but Jesus will walk forward. And he will walk forward with all of his disciples and friends and admirers and even earthly family trying to hold him back, the whole nation trying to push him back. But he has set his heart to will one thing, and one thing only: obedience to the call of God, his heavenly parent, that has been placed upon his life. Jesus's one aim is to please God. It is to serve God by walking forward in the Spirit and bringing justice to the nations. So then the Bible says God delights in him. At the waters of baptism and the Mount of Transfiguration and on the hill called Golgotha, God is proud as any parent could ever be of a son or daughter or child who was raised up in the way that they ought to go, and when they grow old, they do not depart from it. I have told you before of my great affinity for Bishop Peter Story, who was a white South African clergyman who was president of the South African Council of Churches and the right-hand man of Desmond Tutu during the struggle against apartheid. Bishop Story is the Methodist minister who preached the commencement service upon my graduation from seminary. And he told us something of the prophetic ministry that he is engaged in can be embodied in a story about a pastor who was leaving home one morning, set out in his car, when suddenly he received a phone call from his wife while driving. "Honey," she said, "I just heard on the radio that there is a madman on the highway driving the wrong direction." "Honey," he responded, "it's worse than that. There are thousands of madmen on this highway, all driving the wrong direction." Peter's story's prophetic ministry went against the flow for many, many years. But he did not turn around. And neither did his son, Alan. Alan is also a minister in South Africa whom I much respect. And when he was first starting out in the ministry, even before he was ordained, Alan and a few other white South African Methodist church members took a pledge as conscientious objectors to the military conscription, which would seek to arm and deploy them against the struggle for freedom in their beloved country. The young men decided that they were going to say no to this conscription and to bear steadfast witness to their faith in Jesus Christ. And so in a very solemn service, they gathered together and each signed a statement renouncing violence and pledging themselves as peacemakers, praying for strength in Christ as they prepared themselves spiritually to pay the price. They signed the statement, and Bishop Story and Bishop's wife, Alan's mother, each signed the pledge also with their son. And thinking of what their sons would no doubt soon face as a consequence of their resistance, another father from that same Methodist church said these following words: "For an individual to stand up for his convictions and principles, no matter what the odds against him are, and no matter what the cost, shows a rare and admirable character. To find that our own son possesses this exceptional quality makes us proud and privileged to be his parents." They did their parents proud, and God proud also. Beloved, in my Friday letter to you, the congregation, I stated that it is obvious to me that we are headed in the wrong way as a nation. Events of this past week demonstrate that we are going in the very opposite direction of peace and justice and reconciliation. And these are the times we know when some of us, including some of our sons and our daughters and our children, may be called upon to express conscientious objection and resistance. That makes for uncertain times, fearful times, anxious times. Let me this morning conclude, beloved, by simply saying this, reminding us that we who have been baptized have pledged ourselves to will one thing and one thing only. That one thing is to do God proud and to do God's will. And as the early church said in their witness, when they were being told to be quiet and stop their objections and stop their resistance and stop proclaiming boldly their identity in Christ, well, I'm sorry, but we must obey God and not man. This is my beloved child, God proudly said at that first baptism. Your first baptism. May God say it again at whatever other baptisms are still yet to come. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Mother of us all, and together we all say, Amen.